Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. You know, spending time outside in the summer is good for you, it's good for me, and it's also good for many of our indoor plants. But it's like us, it's important to take some precautions with the plants, and we'll be talking about that today with my good friend Tova Martin back with us. She's the author of many gardening books. She's a horticulture industry veteran, speaker, trainer. She's credited as an organic land care professional and has been a guest many times on the show. And as we move along with the show here, I hope you'll join in with your own questions about moving your inside plants outside, or maybe on the other end, outside back to inside. Maybe you're having problems with some of your house plants or one of them. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us to talk@wpr.org. Tova Martin, welcome back. It's good to have one last conversation with you, at least from me.
Well, I'm so going to miss you, Larry. I've lost track. How many shows have we done? Lots. Right? Lots. And everyone is so much fun. And gosh, we've had so much fun over the years.
We've laughed a lot, and I don't think we've cried at all, but we've laughed an awful lot over the years, and you've brought us a lot of good information. And, you know, here today we want to talk a little bit. Let's talk about the benefits, maybe to begin with, of dragging your houseplants outside during the summer.
Well, you know, there is that initial drag, isn't there? But when you get them outside, they're so much easier to take care of when you can just, you know, do it with a hose and water them with a hose and share the duties with Mother Nature a little bit. That's really one of my main reasons for bringing the plants outside, because they're competing at that point with the garden and my duties in the garden.
Yeah, a nice time of the year, and the plants I've set out love it.
They absolutely do. They just flourish, and there's nothing like fresh air, right?
Depending on the time of the year, but I mean this time of the year, is there much to worry about in terms of having the plants shocked?
Absolutely, Larry. You as much light as you might think your south window gets or your bright window gets, it's never quite the same as putting a plant outdoors. And you've really, really got to do it by steps. You can't just expose even your brightest sun-loving plant that you thought was getting bright light. You can't expose that to outdoor light without... What I usually do, Larry, is I usually bring them out on a what will be a series of shady or rainy days.
Oh, that makes sense. Cloudy days.
Cloudy, yeah.
Yeah. And how long do you bring them out for?
Well, once I bring them out, they're out.
Oh, yeah, they're out. But I mean, when you're – are you acclimating them a little bit, though?
What you didn't mention in my introduction, you didn't do the big reveal of the 200 houseplants.
I forgot to do that. You're not carrying 200 plants out.
I don't carry all 200, no. But I do carry a lot of them out. And there's the reason. I'm caring for them over the winter is a part-time job at least. So, but there, you know, you mentioned in the introduction, there are plants that don't like it so much. So I often leave inside. I find that Hoyas just don't like, you know, a little bit too much sun and it's curtains.
Yeah.
It really is. So I leave them in. I often leave the orchids in because they can get scorched easily. I sometimes leave the ferns in because and another interesting one that I usually leave in is the Chinese evergreen, the aglaonema.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That burns easily. So I just don't even give, you know, the elements the opportunity to scorch it.
So care on those. I'm thinking water right now. You know, you are very good at watering your plants indoors, but outside, you know, like the month of May, as an example, and maybe we'll have this in July where we get some really dry times, and you still need to be watering those plants.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll dry out more often, but you can just grab a hose and, you know, and water. I find, you know, it's usually about once a day that I'm watering, unless, you know, it's a cloudy, rainy week. So I'm usually doing that. But one thing I should mention that even, you know, bringing them outdoors and putting them in a shady place or giving them bringing them out when it's in a cloudy period, I still often drape them with like a, you know, I usually use a sheerish type curtain or something like that to drape over them just to be absolutely sure they don't get scorched.
Yeah. How is your garden, by the way, how's the garden doing outside, regardless of the potted ones?
Well, I've gone absolutely insane, and I've expanded my garden too much.
Oh, boy.
But I love it, and I've got all kinds of new little fun things. Like, I've got, all right, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I made a foamery. A foamery is, you know, tiarellas are called the foam flower.
Yeah.
Right? So I planted just a carpet of tiarellas.
Oh, my goodness.
And the pollinators are going bananas.
They
just love it. And it's been in bloom for about a month and a half now. And I have some Actaea, or they used to call it Simus fuga, the bugbane. I have some of that poking up as kind of like an accent in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will bloom later. And I put some white bleeding hearts on the edges, and I mixed in also some miticella, which is also a native but not so well known. And it's just a little fantasy.
Oh my goodness! How large an area is this?
Oh, it's about it's like a little island, and it's maybe 10 feet long, and maybe 8 feet wide.
It's
pretty large, and I have some chairs that I set up, and I just go out there in the evening and watch the sunset over it. It's just the loveliest place, and it's a good thing for shade, you know?
That was my next question. You don't have it in full sun.
No, it's you know, it was the whole idea for it was when I realized that an area that I had just cleared out just because it was too high maintenance as a meadow, it was just become I just getting more shade than I thought as the leaves, you know, the trees leaved out. So I was trying to figure out what to do with it, and then I just got the tiarella idea. And then, of course, me, I'd love to name things. So I just said, this is my foamery. Friends come over in the evening to see my foamery.
Oh, man. So, I love it. Toba Martin, our guest today, as we talk with her about, wait, it's ostensibly here we're talking about bringing your houseplants outside during the summer. We're certainly covering that well, but you may have another plant question. And if you do, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking today with Toba Martin, author of many a gardening book, horticulture industry vet, and a speaker and trainer. It's always fun to have her stop by. And again, if you have a question or comment, you can join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, and the email address is talk@WPR.org. And we have a caller, Sarah, from Wrightstown, Wisconsin. Let's go there. Sarah, hi.
Hi. How are you, Larry?
Great. Appreciate your call. What can we do for you today?
Well, I was gifted, probably 25 years ago, I was gifted a Christmas cactus, and I just love it. We moved to our new house about 2.5 years ago, and since we moved, it just hasn't been doing well. I think it's just not getting as much light as it used to. So I'm thinking about possibly giving it a little bit of time outside, and wondering if that would help.
So should Sarah move her Christmas cactus outside for a bit?
Well, Sarah, you know, I mean, even though Christmas cactus is definitely in that family, I have trouble with them burning easily.
Yeah.
For some reason, that plant is the most difficult one to make that transition outdoors. I'll think I put it in the shade, and still it'll get, you know, those brown, you know, scorchy dots on it. So if you do bring it out, be very careful about that. And be sure to, you know, keep the water on it, because some of those old plants have magnificent root systems, and they do tend to get thirsty. So, and in your new location, don't hesitate to put it a little closer, maybe to the window panes, because they can take quite a bit of chill, I've found. And if you think that light might be, or lack of light might be an issue, that might be a solution. And also remember to rotate it.
Yeah, they need rotating for sure. I had one in my office. I probably mentioned this in the past. My office in another building. I have two offices. And in that office, there was a very large oak tree right outside. So the Christmas cactus didn't get any direct sunlight at all, and it did wonderfully.
did it go wonderfully? Yeah.
Yeah, it went very well, but that was when it was inside. I never sent it outside.
Mm, it of all my plants, that's the one the one that has the hardest time with the transition. Besides, you know, like the Hoyas and orchids that I mentioned that I just keep indoors.
Yeah, if I took it outside, I'd probably make sure it was in a pretty shady spot. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Sarah, thank you. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Rick in Bayfield, we'll go to you now. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Larry. How are you doing today?
Well, just great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I got a question about... what I did at the local library here has houseplants for sale for like $1 a piece or something. There, like one that's can't be beat. So this winter I bought about $25 worth of plants they're all over from 18-inch pots to 4-inch pots. But I had a bunch of eggshells. I heard the calcium would help. I'm just wondering what the mount set would go in there.
Eggshells in houseplants. And this, you hear this talked about, but is it a valuable thing to do?
You know, I've never tried it. And I have very good luck with that.
Obviously.
So there's something to be said for not doing it. I don't really, you know, I would, when in doubt, just skip it, I would say.
The thing about eggshells, all right, for the calcium, well, that calcium in those eggshells would not become available for a long, long time for that to break down. So your houseplant might be dead before the eggshell is really doing anything to the soil. And you might be better off if you use a kind of a decent potting soil. You're going to get the nutrients that you need. And I've never done the eggshells, but people have told me, you know, experts, people who know a lot more than I know, say it takes an awfully long time for that to even make a difference in the. And that's when we're talking about outside, you know, putting it outside in gardens.
And, you know, but tangentially, just to talk about what you just mentioned, using a good potting soil, and I do, I'm totally an advocate for, you know, selecting a great potting soil, and the way you can test that is just slightly dampen your soil and then take a fist load, put it, you know, grasp it in your fist, and then open up your hand. And if it breaks apart easily, it's a good potting soil. It's got a good consistency. But also, you know, potting soils nowadays are very carefully, you know, engineered by soil scientists. So they really give your plant everything it needs, usually.
Yeah. Yep. Rick, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Got an email wondering about your experiences with houseplants, taking them outside in terms of actually disease, potential disease issue, and also pest issues, but maybe start with the disease issues in your experience.
Well, you know, they have the benefit of, you know, greater air circulation when I bring them out. And that's just one of the, that's often the issue of disease that I've found with houseplants, that when you have the better air circulation you have, the more apt you are to have a healthy plant. And most importantly, it should be mentioned that I am organic. So I don't, you know, as we just mentioned, I use a really good soil, and my soils have compost in them. So they are, you know, they give the plant a good oomph and a breakfast of champions. But as far as pests go, yes, you're probably going to get your traveling, your local sow bugs are going to, might, you know, but they don't do any harm. And I don't find, again, I'm organic. So I've given my plant the best possible life, and I don't stress the plant. I water it regularly. So that really cuts down on pests. So I don't really think that you're going to have more issues due to putting your plant outside. I really don't.
And here's another listener emailed. What should you do to bring your not bring in pests and mites and spiders when you bring them in the fall?
Again, I, well, most importantly, what I do is I check the plant, every single plant. You know, I'm a huge advocate for not bringing your plants in at 11 o'clock the night of a frost, you know?
Yeah.
that panic rush is just never going to turn out well. So I suggest that you check each plant under the leaves. That's really important. And the soil as you're bringing the plant in. And then, you know, just keep an eye out for any issues. I don't usually have issues, and I've actually always had a cat, but now I've got two little kittens, and they're death on.
Oh, man.
Nothing gets
Oh, boy. Yeah, my cats, one in particular, will eat up any plant unless it's...
Oh.
It's such a hard chore to have houseplants for me. I have to really...
Can I tell you my trick?
What do you do?
Okay, this is something you only have to do once. And that is, I have a lifeguard whistle, and I blow it. When they tried to eat the plants, I just blew the whistle, and it never again.
It gets their attention. Oh, man.
They hate that noise.
Tova, I understand you have a question for me.
I do, and, you know, you were just talking to Melinda about limey.
Yeah.
And how much you love limey.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, and I've always wondered this, are there other fruits in your life, outdoors or inside?
Well, I've grown strawberries, which I'm not this year, but I've grown strawberries, and of course raspberries. I've always had, you know, some raspberry bushes. But I'm going to be getting another limey, as I mentioned before. I literally was almost in tears when I let that plant go, when she succumbed. It was so hard. And scale, I'm telling you, I am going to be working to make sure that the next one that comes in the house and goes out in the summer, but when it comes back, and even when it's out in the summer, I'm going to be watching for scale. And I'm going to have another one, and maybe
well,
a couple.
Larry, you're the one that told me about, you know, the secret of watering every day, daily watering.
And with a little bit of... fish emulsion.
Yeah. Very hungry plants, the citrus, aren't they?
It has been a pleasure, Tova, all these years that we've been together. I really appreciate your willingness to do it. I know Jill is going to want to have you back. But for us, it's our last time. So heartfelt thanks to you for your friendship and for all you bring to the world of gardening. Thanks, Tova.
Well, thank you, and happy trails to you.
Tova Martin, she'll be back, I'm hoping. She will. Jill will have her back and talk with us again about houseplants. I'm sure she's going to be one of these persons that is always around, especially in once the fall and winter seasons come. It's a great time for her to be with us to talk about what's going on with the plants indoors, for sure. Well, thank you very much for listening. This and all of our shows are a team effort. Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, part of the staff. Got to get everybody together for a crew photo. We haven't done that yet, and we'll get that before the end. Jill Nadeau, of course, our executive producer. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.